Whoa, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. Welcome to the summer finale of On Screen Live, if you can even believe it. I hope you had a kick-ass weekend filled with much Olympics. If you're anything like what's going on in this house, that Peacock app is really getting a workout these next 2 weeks. I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring in some of my buds here, my podcasting co-stars, who all, just like me, were just this close to making it to the Olympics this year. First up, what was he? Oh, he was a shot putter in high school. That's what it was. Steve Sadek.
No, I wasn't. I was somehow even fatter in high school. That's the only thing that it was. Yeah, man. I'm wearing a Deadpool t-shirt to show that I'm not some anti-Marvel person or whatever.
Right.
So whatever I might say later in this episode, please don't hunt me down and kill me.
No, take it like an adult. Take it like an adult. Speaking of someone who loves taking it like an adult, Eric Sisko.
Oh, I love taking it. And my sport was, I do love taking it. My sport was pole vault because I'm a Polish fella. People used to throw off a roof.
That
was my big thing.
Yeah, pole tossing, dude. Let's see how far we can get him. What do they judge that by? The splat radius?
Yes. And then there's also the pole smoking competition.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yep, that's a big one. Speaking of smoking pole, here's Chris Cavan.
And then the Tokyo Olympiad is truly a magnificent. Wait, I don't smoke pole. Wait a minute. Eric, we know that you are the champion, but I am not. I do other things. I jack
no,
the pole.
No.
I don't blow it. I don't smoke it. I jack the pole.
You smoke pole a little bit. Just a little bit.
Look,
what happened to our show?
That one time you made you, that was supposed to be quiet, all right? That wasn't supposed to be, out there for all the fans, okay?
That's all right, Chris Cavan. It's all right.
Look, Friday,
You got the Olympics on, Chris Cavan? You watching the Olympics in your house?
I watched a little bit yesterday. I watched the all the qualifying for the ladies' gymnastics.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff there.
That was good. And then I
Simone,
watched
dude.
A little bit. I watched the French guy smoke everyone.
In the swim last night.
That was pretty nuts.
That dude rocked everybody else in that pool. That was amazing.
Every Olympics I find a new sport that I'm like, wait, what? And
yes.
This year, it is dressage. Anyone else hip to dressage?
What's that? No.
It is like fancy horse walking. Like,
oh,
you're
yes.
on a horse and like the horse has to like, the horse can't gallop. I understand it. Like it kind of does like, it's almost like a gymnastics, like a gymnastic floor routine, but
a
it's
horse.
A fucking horse.
Horse gymnastics?
Yeah. Dude.
Yes.
Yeah. We call that hot to trot. Like the horse can't like go above a trot. And I guess you're disqualified then, I think is the idea.
That doesn't insane. Sound fun. I mean, yeah. I turned on, there was a horse cross country thing at one point like they have to keep going and I was like the horse is gonna break its leg.
I did not get to watch much of it yet. I had on the Peacock app and then skateboarding came on and I was like, I thought this was the Olympics, not the X Games.
Skateboarding's been there, man. It's great. It's actually got the men's next round on right now. USA is actually rocking and rolling in skateboarding right now.
But I think for any horse sports that are in the Olympics, the horse should also get the medal, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
There should be a horse
definitely,
medal.
Yeah.
It's like the size of like a dinner plate because the horse is obviously bigger. Maybe, you know what? Fake the funk. It doesn't even have to be real gold, silver, bronze.
The horse isn't going to know.
The horse ain't going to know. Like, you might try to eat it. Like,
you know what? I would even be okay. Don't even bring in the medals. Just those horses. When they get older, you don't bring them to the glue factory. You bring
there you go. That's
you let them die a decent death, just like dying, eating hay like they wish.
Mm-hmm. I will say with the Peacock shit too, like the broadcast technology and the Olympics, that is like peanut butter and jelly, dude. The fact that I can fucking log onto this and watch live feed stuff before the like primetime highlights, I love it. I can sports select. Oh man, it's so cool. Big Olympics head over here. We'll get into it. We got a lot to cover today. Of course, yes, our big Deadpool and Wolverine review, among other things. We get to the birthdays and the in memoriams. First up, we have an in memoriam, a big one. This is her centennial. Elizabeth Short would have been 100 years old today.
Happy death day to you.
Happy death day. No, this was her birthday.
What day
she was murdered, but you know who this is, right?
Yes, I do.
That's indeed the Black Dahlia.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
Okay. Oh, see, this is the problem with doing death dates is they can't exactly pinpoint the exact day of death here.
Oh, sure. What with the unsolved murder?
Yeah. And so wrapped up in garbage bags.
Well, you get to celebrate two death days because it was either January 14th or 15th when she died. So
there we go.
Wait, did Aaron Eckhart not get to the bottom of that? Was that something he missed?
I don't remember a lot of them.
It's Josh Hartnett and Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, I see.
Yes. I watched that movie when I was like some of the most hungover I've ever been in public.
Nice. I was there. I remember it very clear.
Yeah, it was bad, dude. It was Chris Cameron was like, "You gonna make it?"
I want to say my brother, when he moved to Los Angeles, moved to the same street as the Black Dahlia murder or something like that.
For him,
nice.
No.
That's real. They got a sign. They got a sign propped up or something.
Come on into Dahlia's.
All right, now living people celebrating birthdays today, of course, the great Ken Burns turns 71, his haircut turns 5.
that hair, man.
It's actually really nice. I think it's an outdated photo because I saw him recently. I forget, they had him interviewing somebody and he's got like an adult haircut now.
Okay, that's cool.
The bowl like this is gone.
Was he interviewing Sean Levy about how good it is to direct and how it's good for people to direct well? That's how nice that is.
We should give Ken Burns a Marvel movie. You're right.
Please. Oh, my God, shit. Please.
So many fucking.
Oh, my God. If he just did Civil War as Civil War, you know what I mean? Now we're talking.
Everybody thought it was really dangerous when the Hulk was going to get to the airport, but once Spider-Man got there and showed up and saved it, like, you just imagine all the slow, harmonica going.
The Central Park Sinister Six.
Yep. Exonerated.
Here's a dude that should be in the Marvel Universe. Tim Gunn, also 71 today. So happy birthday to him. Maybe he's going to go to Mood. I love
is that show still on the air, or is that like 20 years ago?
I don't know. There was like network switching and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sound off in the chat if Project Runway is still on.
Okay.
He's still around.
That was what I was wondering. Which one is he from? From Project Runway. Okay.
Yeah. Project. They go into the fabric store all the time. And he's like, "Hello, Mood. Thank you, Mood." He refers to everyone in the store by the store name. It's fucking great. He's a treasure. Let's see. Speaking of treasures, Will Wheaton turns 52.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this? What's he from?
Oh, some Star Trek show, I think. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That, he's on that nerd show.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh yes.
Wasn't Buzz he on that nerd Zynga. Show for a little bit?
Yeah, he was.
As himself?
Yeah, because it was that was bad. There was like that time when like it was like, oh man, Will Wheaton, that's fun, and it was like that didn't last very long.
Yeah.
He's trying to Neil Patrick Harris it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it didn't happen.
No, and that's fine. Let's see here. The great Stephen Dorff turns 51.
My guy.
Hell yeah. And former actress, now convicted sex slave getter, Allison Mack turns 49.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
For a moment there, I thought Felicity Huffman's birthday was.
Has she been freed yet? You know, she's
I think
a political
she is.
Prisoner, I think.
I think she is out of jail. I believe she is out of jail.
No, she's a legitimate prisoner. Is the answer you're looking for?
Oh, okay.
I actually was doing like a little cherry picking Battlestar Galactica watch, and I'm like, so many of these people went to jail, or like we're nearly like because Nicole
or
Klein
caught
is,
up in it.
Yeah, Nikki Klein was there. Grace Park, you know, it's a lot more than you think.
Is Grace Park in jail?
No, but she was definitely part of the whole situation.
She's in it,
wow. Yeah.
I don't know how many of those other Battlestar people got to like the branding phase of the ceremonies, but
they all had to hear about it. Almost must have been like, "What the fuck is that? No, I'm not doing it. No,
these kids are fucking weird. These kids are so fucking weird.
I've already done all my sinning.
I'm not going to Vancouver to play fucking volleyball.
I don't care that she was in Star Wars." big one up in the chat to John Dubovan, D. Shuba, Sean Trek, Rod, Tim Lamb, Rose, John Cora, Daniel Hood, Johnny Pomato's there hanging out. Dan Mecca, of course, from the B-Sides podcast on the film stage. Love that guy. Mm-hmm. Love seeing you in here, Dan. How you doing, buddy? Osiris87, all these folks that you hang out all year. We do this show. This is indeed the summer finale. So I wanted to get in some, at least, recognition for all the people that come hang out. Love you guys. So we got a lot to get to today. Let's get right into it, folks. We got to see what's going on at this box office. We got some wild numbers to talk about. This is Highest Gross. All right here. Mm-hmm. So check this shit out. This is wild. And, you know, for a movie that we were kind of like meh over. Listen, I'm still happy for it, man. Long Legs.
Yeah.
Turns out to have some long legs of its own at the box office.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
you
yeah.
See what I did there. Rocking 6.8 million in week three. Now, check this out. 66 million globally. It is now topped Parasite to be Neon's most successful movie of all time.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You know, the longer I stay away from it, it plays well in my head. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those, like, it's just like, I was talking to a buddy about it, like a bartender, that he's like, oh, I loved it. And I was like, I didn't like it as much, but like, I like that people love it, and it's a cool movie. Yeah. Totally a cool movie.
I think it's one of those things where if you can make serial killer movies before and not like woo ah, wah, about it, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's fun still. I think people will still show up for your serial killer movie if it's an actual serial killer movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very cool. Honestly, pretty cool too. I haven't seen it yet. I said from the jump is going to be a Disney Plus watch for me, but Inside Out 2 just smashing all sorts of records here. We got in week 7, it's rocking another 8.3 mil, $1.5 billion globally.
Oh.
This is the biggest animated movie of all time. Eat shit, Frozen 2.
I'm waiting for Outside In. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, what goes on in that movie, dude?
You bring the outside in, you know, like, so. Uh-huh. So I like start growing grass over here, not weed, but like actual grass.
Got it.
You gotta go. There's a coming attractions on the Brazzers site. You can just go there and see.
Is there plant porn you're watching?
No, Outside In sounds like, you know. Oh yeah,
you guys talk about pornography. I don't know anything about that.
Sure, I'm sure.
Virgin eyes.
Here we go. Number three at the box office. Here we go. The stars, I think, the stars of the Paris 2024 Olympics opening ceremony. Despicable Me 4 and the Minions.
Das Minions. I love my Minions.
Eye-opening to see how much of culture's trash is French, you know? Like this Assassin's Creed guy running around the whole nine yards. It's all...
I don't know. Listen, that was the Frenchest opening ceremony of all time. Assassin's Creed guy, the fucking Phantom of the Opera music cue, his creepy child kidnapping gondola ride.
Mm-hmm. Gojira was wild. Awesome, though. I love that.
I had never heard of those dudes before.
Listen, amazing.
I got nothing against it. Metal's kind of just not my jam, but those dudes were ratting and rolling. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Also, one of those things where, like, people all clutching pearls or whatever, like, showing their asses, not understanding Marie Antoinette and what went down with all that. So, really love seeing all those stupid conservatives out in force complaining about that. Really great. Here we go. A movie that was on track to be doing pretty well, and then Disney came a-calling and just rocked its ass. But Twisters, the sequel here, or continuation, reboot, whatever you want to call it, in it, just its second weekend, $35.3 million, nothing to really sneeze at except for the fact that this accounted for a 57% fall due to Deadpool and Wolverine just ripping
the
business away from this movie.
Finally caught that movie, Twisters, and it's fine. I did not expect it to be about the cure for tornadoes.
Really? Had the cure for tornadoes, and I don't remember where I fucking put it.
That's the movie.
I still have not. Eventually, I'll probably get there.
I don't think it's ants, though. That's the big difference.
Unlike Madison Man, it's not magic ants.
I don't think it's ants. I really don't think so.
Charming cast. Totally fine summer movie.
No, exactly. A completely fine. You will not regret your time at the movies. I saw it in IMAX, and honestly, like, you don't really need to.
Honestly, put that out there. Like the original, it's good, and the cast makes it. But like, at the end of it, you're like, So you just want to stop tornadoes? That, well, you can't do that.
Yeah,
that's not going to be happening.
Yeah, I'm curious on the science for all of the chemical stuff in that movie. But hey, who knows? You know, last time I checked, we're not weather scientists. So
I saw a lot of kids doing the 4DX version of that, like a challenge kind of a thing.
Yeah,
like, just do it the 4DX. I'm like, yeah.
You get douched in the face with Regal toilet water. Thank you.
I don't think I'm ever going to do a 40. I think I'm good on the 4DX experience. I don't think I ever need to know what that is.
No, you shouldn't. It's terrible and it's a total scam. And I've had more fun at movies just seeing them in IMAX, like as big and as loud as possible. That's all I need. That I don't need a fucking fan in my face. I really don't. And here we go. Review coming in just a few minutes. But holy moly, Deadpool and Wolverine. Look at these numbers, y'all. We are talking $205 million domestically, which accounts for 13.6 million tickets issued. This is $438 million globally. This is the eighth biggest movie opening of all time.
Sure.
The best R-rated movie opening of all time. And it topped the opening with just a few weeks ago. We were talking about it. The opening of Inside Out 2, which was huge for the year, topped it by $50 million extra buckaroos.
Wow. So the movies are back. We will say that.
Yeah.
But again, context. It's the only Marvel movie of the year. It's got Hugh Jackman coming out of retirement. You know what I mean? Like, these things will move your movies.
Well, I'm agreeing with you 100%, Steve. And I think it's, with the announcement we had this weekend of good old RDJ, I think we are fully in Lost Heads. We'll remember that. We got to go back.
We
got to go back to phase one.
We got
to
go back.
We got to go back.
That's all I heard. That, like, from watching this movie and seeing that announcement, all I heard was like, can we just make it all go back to 2018, 2019? Yeah. Can we go and do that, please?
And it looks like it's
horrifying.
Looks like it's working too.
Yeah, a little bit, and I'm a little concerned.
Is the Doomsday movie? I assume that has replaced the Kang Dynasty.
Kang Dynasty is gone.
They swapped it out. Yeah.
Yes.
There was going to be Secret Wars, and then either it was going to be the Kang Dynasty. Right. Now it's Doomsday.
But now they also got the Russo brothers back too.
Yeah.
If you remember. Ooh. A few years ago during the pandemic, they were saying we should never return to movie theaters.
Yep.
Movies should only come out on streaming.
That's right.
I assume that's what we're going to do with this, right? We're not.
Oh, of course,
I hope so.
Theater.
I mean,
the directors are against that.
I mean, if they if they put this out on if Doomsday comes out only on Disney Plus, honestly, thumbs up. Go ahead, do it, buddy. You want to go and do that? That vibe with me. It's the releasing in theaters for that one that I'm going to be a little pissed.
Well, those guys wouldn't bloviate for no fucking reason, right? That's not
what
those guys are.
No, I don't think so.
They don't have a huge chip on their shoulder for no good reason, right? That's not them. That's not them.
After the great success of Cherry and the Gray Man, you wonder why they decided they had to do this. You wonder why they're like, hey, I'm going to go back to this. Because they did so well dealing with humans and somewhat human story. I don't know why they would do this.
It's like when Martin Scorsese came out and then he had to go back and start doing Roger Corman movies again. Oh, that didn't happen.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, wait, no, that didn't happen.
More on all the Marvel business in that movie in just a few minutes, but did want to point out a little elsewhere at the box office, because this little guy got swallowed up by the movies here. But a little film I caught at Sundance here, Dee Dee, really fucking great movie. Really, really great movie. Really great. Like, you can feel the coming of ageness in this movie. It's a period piece set in, it's like early aughts. This kid's like in eighth grade. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful fucking movie. Focus Features decided to do its limited platform release, 5 screens on the same day as Deadpool and Wolverine came out.
That's
so
a bit weird. Why summer at all with that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I don't know. It is set in California, I guess, warm weather vibes. But like,
that is
you could have skewed this more award season based. Like, I want people to remember this movie at the end of the year. It's a fabulous little movie. 200K on 5 screens, so, you know, 40K per, really impressive. Yeah. For, you know, I just wonder what it could have done if a lot of that, because the other thing too is it's about like coming of age, teenage boy stuff, eighth grade kind of set. It's the target audience for Deadpool and Wolverine also. So just, you know, what could have been if this was on a different weekend, but as is, great start. Check out the movie. I'm sure it'll be rapidly to streaming.
Is there any scene in that where they playfully dance around to Bye Bye Bye?
Is the opening dancing?
Are there any cool, in sync?
Cool cameos?
I think they should do more of that.
It's
if they
set in the 90s. You could have a 90s guy show up.
There you go.
Wear the costume from the comics? That's all I care about.
Yeah. No, that's the thing with Dee Dee. Do they put the main character of the movie instead in black leather?
Oh, that's not good.
Just this eighth grade boy in black leather walking around. I might see it. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, man. It was a huge hit at Sundance. A lot of people loved it. The dude who directed it was already nominated for an Oscar for a short that he did like just this year about, I think, like his two grandmothers or something like that. It was actually on Disney Plus.
I remember.
Escapes me at the moment.
When is his Marvel movie coming out?
Well, he's got to be introduced into one before he gets like the big, you know what I mean? This kid who's in Dee Dee is going to be in like Avengers Doomsday, and then we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in phase eight. See what happens.
I'm excited.
Speaking of seeing what happens, there's so much that goes on at the movies. It's hard to keep track of, but we try our best in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment. So, yeah, Creature Commandos is the teaser we have here. Steve, we might need a little bit of context from you on these guys.
I can't tell who's there. Like, it's Frankenstein. That's DC's Frankenstein monster. Yeah, the weasel guy from Thing. The bride is there. Yeah, it just, I'm not sure who these people are.
Well, I had no idea that Mary Shelley wrote comic books.
She did.
Oh, she loved them. Is this the robot that Brendan Fraser plays?
Doesn't look like it, actually. No, right. It's not.
I think they say all their names in this teaser. Yes, but so we'll find out. Is, of course, a Suicide Squad offshoot cartoon from James Gunn,
which will be the first thing released in the new DC universe, I believe. Is that how that's going to go?
Well, it's December, so yeah, I would guess so, because the Penguin is not part of that.
That's in its own
part of the universe. Yeah.
Sure.
You know what?
I think this is it. Yeah.
Stop even saying stuff for part of universes, because now you got to be like, but this one's not, and then technically that it's just like. Just make cool movies and TV shows. If they cross over, sometimes
that'd
fine.
Be cool. I'd love it.
But Eric, you're just, I mean, we just created the DD universe. Why are you saying, like, we're already pulling back? I thought he was already in there. I thought we had to create a DD universe. We have a Twisters universe now. Yeah. Finally. Oh my God. This is all happening.
It's too many
cartoons. To this cartoon's defense, I don't think this is a thing where you're going to have watched the entire first season of Creature Commandos to get the new Superman movie.
Yeah.
God. At least I would assume.
Oh, is this a show or is it a movie?
It's a show. As far as I understand it. So let's take a look, folks. If you're watching along, check out the show information below. We have the link to the Max official YouTube channel where we're going to watch this teaser. And by the way, when you're clicking down in that show information, be sure to like and subscribe. Like this video. Give it that thumbs up, of course. Spread the word, spread the virus of On Screen Live throughout YouTube. All right, fellas, we all queued up here, ready to rat and roll.
Yep.
All right, this is the official teaser for Max's Creature Commandos out this December. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, this is a first of all, God bless that logo.
Yeah, it looks pretty great, right?
Because they got rid of that logo, right? And now they brought it back.
Again, a little more buyer's remorse there, I feel. We're changing things when we feel like we shouldn't.
We got elevators here in this cartoon.
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
I like this animation, I will say.
Yeah. Oh, that weasel thing is from Suicide Squad, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
These assholes aren't. And is this Viola Davis doing the voice?
It is.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, keep this kind of like comedic tone going. I could be down with it. Dr. Phosphorus. Look at this guy.
Yeah. You know, I like that Harley Quinn show. So. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, so G.I. Robot, Steve. Is that the same?
Yeah, I never heard of that guy either. Okay. New
task force. Gotcha. I like Lady in the Water there, or whatever the fuck. Guillermo del Toro nightmare is in there. Task Force M. M for Monster. M for Monster is kind of funny. Looks like we have a lot of good action here. Kind of, you know, possibly the same sort of vibe as like X-Men 97.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm down for this. I'm down, you know, simple little half hour cartoon. Absolutely.
Sure. I'll definitely give it a spin, depending on. I imagine it's probably going to be light on the DC cameo part of it. You know what I mean? Like, I because I think it is going to be the new universe. So it's like, they probably don't want to ruin what, you know what I mean? The new characters.
Big entrances are probably going to be. Yeah. I get them.
But I'm curious. It looks like fun. I do mostly like James Gunn. So I love that Suicide Squad movie. That second Suicide Squad movie was really, really good.
I want to go back to it because I liked it enough. And then like so many people have like gone a little bit bigger in the appreciation. I'm like, man, did I miss something there?
Is Peacemaker over that show or is it coming back?
What's going on? Season two coming back. I think they've shot it all or are shooting it right now. I've seen Gunn post some stuff. I got to say, here's the thing about James Gunn, man. Like him or hate him, very transparent in like projects he's working on. If you follow that dude on Instagram or whatever, he's like, yeah, this is the fucking Superman set. And here's what I'm doing with what, you know what I mean? Like, so pretty sweet. Apparently he did have a big hand in being like, hey, your fucking logo should be this again.
That'd be helpful.
You know, so good on him for that. You know, give me these fucking cool cartoons. Keep them violent. Keep them like, you know, like Harley Quinn's like a little dirty and whatnot.
Sure.
For the adults. Sure. Totally fine. Totally fine for us to have animation too, that you don't have to park your fucking kids in front of. What is someone saying here? Something about Peacemaker. What do we got here? Peacemaker is taking place in a slightly different universe than the first season, where certain characters are alive again.
It's weird. Too confusing. Zombie universe.
It is. I mean, like, it's funny. Like, I saw somebody, James Mangold actually had some comment about, you know, like multiverses or the death of storytelling, yada yada yada, and then people were like, well his story takes place in the multiverse and blah blah blah, like, and the big shield that people will hold up is like, but they do it in the comics, and they do it in the comics, but the problem is about every 6 to 8 years they have to have a big Crisis on Infinite Earths thing in both universes because it just gets too fucking confusing. Literally, the comics get too unwieldy. It's like, how many Supermans are there? How many didn't that one die? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we're going to fucking cut it down to just this because it's too much. It's unwieldy. And it does literally cut out the gas of actual story impact. It's like, okay, there's fucking, if Superman dies, he's over there. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. And then like, I would wager it's much easier to like blow up a comic universe and start from ground zero than it is to, you know, do this with movies, because also you've got like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of single issue comics at this point throughout like however many lines you have going with these characters versus these, like, and it's not that it's anything to sneeze at with the amount of movies that are in the MCU, but like there's not as much, so like they're not going to destroy all that shit and start over, even though they probably fucking should. More on that in a moment. But first up, gang, now this is crazy because time is flying. Just this Thursday, the 1st of August, do you have a shot to catch the replay of our Speed Live show that happened a couple weeks back at this point, or about a week and a half ago at this point?
That's right. And hey,
hell
if you loved it, you like that logo that our friend Philippe Sobrario did for us. It's now available as merch on our TeePublic store.
That's right, dude. Good call. Head over to whmpodcast.com. Click on that merch tab. It'll take you to the store. I believe the art is called Bus Movie, which is pretty great. it was a fun as fuck show. Real fun after party, as always. The response to it has been great. So if you've been dancing around whether or not you're going to get it or you just keep forgetting, here's your final on-screen live reminder, y'all, that... you have till the end of the day Thursday, and then it goes off the platform there. So we want you to check that out. We want you to be able to enjoy it. we enjoyed doing the show. We enjoyed answering the questions afterwards and everything like that. So we want you to enjoy it too. Moment.co/WeHateMovies. Mm-mm. All right, fellas, let's just get in here. And I'll start by saying I rewatched every Hugh Jackman appearance as this character besides the Wolverine, because I wanted to do the director's cut. And unfortunately, that's like 2.5 hours long and I didn't find the time. Yeah. But I even went in and watched the first two Deadpools, rewatched them. And I do have a mostly high opinion of those movies. So I'm going to put that out there as my fucking bulletproof shield before we get into this, which I said on Letterboxd. I think about 50% of the jokes hit for me. My man Hugh looked kind of tired and not really engaged as much in this. And frankly, a lot of the rest of the movie was, to describe my experience watching it, Homer Simpson smiling politely.
Yes. Oh, my God. You know, you mentioned rewatching those Deadpool movies. I did the same thing. I didn't watch the Wolverine stuff. But
yeah,
that the opening fight in Deadpool 1 on the highway is so octane. And it's this whole thing. And it was originally their test footage. So that fight and that whole sequence is now 10 years old or over 10 years old. And we still can't even approach it. How are we just punching and shooting in the void and not doing anything?
I think the closest good action scene, I think the first action scene in Deadpool and Wolverine's fun with the skeleton, which I won't say any more about that.
Yeah,
but I think that's kind of okay. And the car fight is okay. But a lot of the fighting, especially the Deadpool v Wolverine stuff, because they have healing factors, even though it's an R, it's just like him going and him going it's hard to follow. It doesn't matter. It's just like there's a lot of blood, but it's like Mortal Kombat blood. You know what I mean? Like it's like
spoilers,
every time you hit him.
By the way, we're gonna have spoilers.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna try and hold it back, but there will be some spoilers because we have to talk about the movie.
Yeah,
but the void itself is as advertised. It is a void. It takes place in the middle of the movie. It's just sucks any creativity out of the film if there was creativity in the film.
And then one of your big like third act kind of fights is the multiple Deadpools. So. And it's just tired. We're falling down on a bus with these guys.
Well, because when you leave the void, which has 40 different cameos in the void, mm-hmm. that's the whole point of the void, is to have all the cameos. You're like, at least we're done with cameos and we can have a regular third act. No, here comes another 20 to 25 cameos with the Deadpool core of, you know, all that stuff, which is, you know, a lot of that's online available right now anyway, so it's not the end of the world. It's kind of wild that there are so, like, this movie cannot trust itself to exist without a new cameo or a new costume for 5 to 10 minutes. And why? Because it's totally creatively bankrupt. And I'm sorry, Sean Levy's a fucking hack. He's a hack director. I never say that, but he just kind of is. You know what I mean? Like,
pretty openly now after his comments, it sounds like he kind of knows it too from what he was saying. Yeah, I mean, he's dead?
No, what did he say? John Levy. Sean Levy say?
You see the whole thing about how he's like, well, you know what? I'm a populist director. You know what? Mm-hmm. I think that makes me able to do a bunch of different stuff. And, you know, there's no connecting line between all the movies that I've made, except for, okay, wait, yeah, okay, they all fucking suck. Okay, that's
by the way,
I guess that's a thing.
This is a harsh rhetoric here, Chris and Steve. Let's just say it's okay to like a movie.
It is.
And it's totally fine if you enjoyed this. I actually had plenty of laughs with it, but
I did.
It just doesn't. It's not enough.
I like Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. I do. I still do, even though it's a lot in this movie and it's grating. And like the part that bugs me about this movie is they go so. He's always tongue-in-cheek talking about the corporate politics of the movies in the first two. In this one, it is, we might as well talk sale price. You know what I mean? Stock information, the amount of corporate fucking talk.
Yeah.
Logo speaking that. Yeah.
My biggest problem with that, though, was the fact that, like, it's all old news. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt like. Like when you, I don't know if it's like this anymore because I'm sure their turnaround time is even faster or whatever. But like when you used to watch like the season premiere of a South Park season and those first few episodes were about shit that had happened like 8 months ago, a year ago, whatever it was. this is that. Like, you're ragging on this Fox Disney deal as if the ink just dried last week. Like, folks, this has been years. None of that was funny. And also their angle of like, oh, Fox, aren't you so embarrassed for letting this go? It's like Disney bought it. Disney consumed it. It wasn't like Fox sold the rights off. Like, we don't want to do anything with this anymore. They made two successful fucking Deadpool movies. They did incredibly right by the X-Men overall. Oh, you know what I mean? So like that whole thesis, and it's the thesis of the movie, which is, haha, Fox, aren't you stupid for letting all this through your rich fingertips? It rings incredibly untrue and disingenuous
and,
to me.
And it does both things, because it is like, haha, Fox, and finally he's in the suit, right? It's like, you're not embarrassed to be in a superhero movie, which is literally a line from the film. Mm-hmm. And, but then at the end, we have this fucking, again, spoiler if you're, this montage, this sweet montage about the Fox years, completely, because Sean Levy's a hack and is creatively bankrupt. It's set to the Good Riddance, which is the Seinfeld montage, which looks exactly like this fucking thing. Yep. But like, so you can't do both, where it can't be sweet, like, oh, we miss it, and also fuck you for never having him in the yellow costume.
Yeah,
you can't kind of do both.
I think you know, Deadpool, you can be this, you can like be self, you can take the piss out of the genre, out of your corporate overlords or something, but it goes too far. And then it's like, just having those cameos just feels so cynical, so like, oh, look, it was the guy from The Thing. And
yeah,
I mean, just because you occasionally take a break from sucking your overlord's dicks and be like, boy, I'm sucking their dicks, aren't I? And then like, it still means you're sucking their dick. I'm sorry. Like,
pole smoking,
all this fucking
Chris.
Bullshit. Like, I am shocked, over this before. shocked that you guys remember any of this. This thing was so out of my brain immediately. Like, I had a general ambient annoyance after it, but like, I didn't remember anything. The whole thing just washed right over me immediately.
Because you're stuck in the void, and then you're stuck with, you're in the void forever in this goddamn
thing. Are for a really long time.
It's the middle third of the movie, and it's the largest third of the three thirds of the movie.
I'm gonna go see Deadpool and Wolverine. They'll be fun to see them in an adventure, right? Like some big thing that they have to do. No. They're stuck in the void, right? And then what else happens in this goddamn, Chris, I'm having your syndrome.
No. I mean, they get stuck in the void, and I mean,
that's the movie. You have to remember Loki season one or two or whatever. You have to remember about this multiverse stuff.
Can I just raise a hand here about, so the beginning of the movie, it's we meet totally slumming it. What's his face? Matthew McFadden as this kind of a villain that doesn't have enough time to be a villain, so he's just kind of in the movie a little bit. Every scene he's in feels like a commercial to turn your phone down. You know what I mean? Like it seems like the movie's about to start when he's in the movie. But the thing is, like, in the Fox timeline, since Logan happened and Wolverine has died, every reality has an anchor personality, and when that anchor personality, if that anchor personality should die, then the reality dies, and I'm like, don't everyone die? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
But they shouldn't.
The point of a timeline is that everyone dies on it. You know what I mean?
For example, Steve, if I'm the anchor person of this reality right now, if I die, the world ends. And I think that's just right.
I thought you'd be a fan of that one.
Well, that's what happens when you get so up your own ass about these timelines and whatever else. Like, I mean, I understand it, but it just was kind of like, really? That's the way you're tying this all together? Because that seems incredibly cheap. I will say, I don't agree with the people who are like, you have to have seen Loki 1 and 2. I didn't see Loki 2. I saw Loki 1. And the only thing that you get from that is like an understanding of the TVA, which like you kind of get in this movie anyway.
The timeline cops. Yeah, it's okay.
It doesn't super matter.
That's fair. But it's another thing of like, hey, it's another great Marvel product. Oh, hey, I love that Fox thing.
Well, especially like I would say the thing that the lady at the end who comes in and kind of sets everything right. I had no idea who she was, and I assume she's probably a big part of Loki season two.
Who's that?
The lady at the end who's like, all right, you knuckleheads, who's doing this?
she's a time officer from at least the first season. I like,
and I mean, I think Cassandra Nova is a really great villain. It's kind of a bummer that they burned her in this movie. And the actress is game, and there's some cool moments of her using her powers, which I was like, okay, cool. But it's like, it doesn't matter
it's not developed at all.
She should be the villain, and then like, I guess she is the villain towards the end. Like, oh, she's like the real villain. It's like, but she doesn't do anything. She doesn't have any real motivation like she does in the comics. And it's a good enough character. You know what I mean? It's kind of a bummer.
Yes. Nova, what's her name? Something Nova.
Cassandra Nova.
Cassandra Nova. Yeah. Xavier's sister in the movie is, we should just say this for clarity's sake, in the movie, the character is Xavier's sister. Mm-hmm. That is a she, her. The actress Emma Corrin uses they, them. They are great on Murder at the End of the World, which was an FX show nobody fucking watched last year, I think, except for me and my wife, which I thought was, it's a very cool sort of like tech bro murder mystery kind of thing. I would recommend checking out for sure. Harris Dickinson's also in it. But Emma Corrin is the main character, and they're fucking great in that. And they're in this movie, and I thought, okay, like, little bit of juice there. They're not allowed to do anything. This character is kept on a fucking leash, and this abysmal, like, I'm just holding on to shit at the end of this movie. Like, the climax is three people holding on to various things.
Sorry, the climax is stolen from another Marvel property, which is amazing. But continue, Chris.
I mean, the Cassandra Nova thing. What is the point of having a serious villain in a Rick and Morty movie?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Like, what do you take any of the villains in Rick and Morty seriously as serious characters? Of course you fucking don't. Like, it's just, that's not what those are built for. That's not what this is built for. But because it's Sean Levy and he can't just like go full tilt into it and just be like, fuck it, nothing matters. He has to do the thing where he's like, well, once in a while, we kind of care about each other, right? I mean, it's kind of a little sentimental. Isn't that fun,
really,
guys?
Only Deadpool has any motivation in this whatsoever. Yes. And I just kept wondering, why is anyone doing anything in this movie? Why is she want to destroy that world? Why is any of this stuff happening?
Yep. Wolverine, I mean, and again, it's Deadpool and Wolverine, and, you know, fucking Hugh Jackman came out of retirement. He's really nonplussed to be in this movie. Like, he's not, I don't know, like, you would think that it would be a good pairing because he's so gruff and he's so animated. It's like Bugs Bunny and some, you know, like, and, you know, fucking Yosemite Sam, but it doesn't, they don't have that kind of chemistry. I mean, and they seem to like each other quite a bit. Just for whatever reason, it's not really captured on screen.
I'll tell you what the reason is. There's no direction for him as an actor. There's just not. And say what you want about the scumbags that have directed him before in this role, because there have been some scumbags who have directed him, like the scumbags and the non-scumbags who have come before to direct Hugh Jackman as Logan the Wolverine have gotten it and have done a much better job at it. Levy, like, I got nothing against the guy. I really don't. I don't like the direction of the actors in this movie. And Hugh is kind of the greatest example of it, because Reynolds, he's just doing Ryan Reynolds. He's been doing it for 20 years, and it's fine. He doesn't need direction on that.
No.
Because that's him. Yeah. Hugh Jackman is not Logan. He's not the Wolverine. He's a fucking kindly song and dance man who needs direction for a gruff, tough performance, even though he's done it 10 times.
It also,
and there's no direction here.
The version of Wolverine in the multiverse that they pick, and there's a fun montage of all these different Wolverines, which gave me a little costume boner. Of course, I'm a nerd. Sure. I get it. Like, I was like, oh, cool, it's the Brown costume. Oh, that's Age of Apocalypse. I liked all that stuff. So I'm a fucking huge loser. But the version that he plucks out never really makes any sense. It's like, I'm sad. It's kind of like an old man Logan version of, like, I betrayed the X-Men or something.
Yes, it is sort like of something happened. I came back and they're all murdered. And I'm like, I don't know, man. How about just a quick little flashback to any of it? Just give me a shot.
Yes.
Give me any sort of sense of anything, because it's either you're in this void or you're in whatever that Stonehenge looking place that Wolverine's mind is inside of, or whatever. You say, movie, whatever the fuck say.
My biggest problem is still just the void. You're trapped in this place for like an hour. Like, if Wolverine's coming back with Deadpool, and if they're like maybe running around New York City or some location, I think it could have been cool to see that. But instead, this movie's just completely shot cheaply, very cheaply on sound stages, and that's it.
It's looks so like a shit. It's so easy. It's so easy to make a Wolverine Deadpool movie. Find a reason for them to be together, an action-oriented reason, like, oh no, we have to fucking kill 100 ninjas because somebody stole someone's baby. That's a movie I would fucking kill to see that movie. That would be so easy, so fun, and Deadpool's yip-yapping and Wolverine's cutting people's heads off and saying, shut up, you. It's so easy, and they go to so many lengths to hide Deadpool and Wolverine by oversaturating with all these cameos and all this fan service stuff that, like, literally without that there's no movie. I was like, honestly, like, I don't like it more, but The Flash is a better movie. It just is. It actually 100%. there's a
movie.
The beats narrative. Of it, like the fact how they bring Batman in, what Batman does, all that stuff, like, again, I had more fun watching Deadpool v Wolverine. I'll probably, if you made me watch one again, I would watch Deadpool v Wolverine. But The Flash is a better movie. It just is, because it actually has emotional stakes and payoffs. And this movie does not.
No,
it's also got like sets. I know we harped on it a second ago, but I was thinking about like, a lot of these that I've rewatched, shit, man, even fucking X-Men Origins Wolverine from 2009, not a great movie.
Sure.
Sierra episode on it. Shock of all shocks, it's still not a good movie. But there's a lot of that where he's like living the sweet life as a lumberjack and whatever, and you are just outside in a forest somewhere. Sure. Same thing with Logan. We're running through the forest at the end of that movie. All that like is so great. And I could not help but like, you know, think about all these Letterboxd friends that I've seen say, like, were any of these people in the fucking same room together? Because there's no proof. Yeah. Aside from Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds standing next to each other in a lot of shots, were they next to, you know, again, spoiler alert, were they standing next to Chris Evans? Were they standing next to Wesley Snipes? Any of, like, was anyone in a room? You can't tell. It's so, and for a movie that, like, you're pumping 100 mil into, what is that going to? Salaries, cameo expenses in this case?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck, man? I was surprised at how bad it looks. Even from the first two Deadpool movies, which are real sets and, you know, people walking around stuff. It wasn't
because they're action movies. Those two movies are action movies. Yeah. And here's your Bugs Bunny guy making jokes while he's shooting people in the head. And it's fun. And there's just very little of that.
Even Bugs Bunny, even Looney Tunes has clarity. Like, you can see what's happening. You can follow it. Like, I can't believe that you spent this kind of money. And in the age that we live in, where everybody's like, oh my God, a fight choreography, the most important thing in the fucking world. Like, we love this shit. Get more of this in it. You couldn't get a good guy to come in and make this look good. You couldn't just give that. Mm-hmm. Like, the movie is just a mishmash of like nostalgic garbage. That's fine. Right. That's fine. But if you're going to do shit like that, why not have some effort, you, the populist filmmaker, Sean Levy, to do something that people are enjoying that aren't babies? I know the babies love it.
Someone in the chat mentioned No Way Home, and I think that's a good call. That's a better movie because there's a narrative reason for all that type of stuff.
Yes.
But
right. Still a better movie.
But it's another cameo showcase. Yes. And all these movies are just cameo showcases. It just feels like I'm watching a trailer before a trailer before a trailer in the goddamn movie.
Which I will say, and to get into some, number one, and you guys can disagree with me, this is not an episode, right? We're not doing this.
I just don't know
how you would. It's self-aware. People have been asking.
It's possibly a commentary, but I don't even know if I see it as that.
But getting into some Comic-Con news, I did watch the pirated Fantastic Four trailer.
Okay.
And I'm kind of excited about it. Honestly, like, I think it's set in a different timeline. We don't talk about the Avengers. It reminds me of what they did with the first X-Men movie, what they used to do with these movies, which is give a director like, hey, what do you think a Fantastic Four movie should look like? That's what I want to see. Is somebody like ground up, like, this is what I can make this into, as opposed to, well, it's got to look like all this stuff and then Elektra will show up because that's kind of fun. And we'll make you know what I mean? Like, all these self-aware jokes. From the very, very bad footage that I saw, because it's a fucking dude's shaky head that was ripped off the internet. I think it looks really fun and it looks like a step in the right direction. I hope to God what? That whatever this doomsday thing has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with
it. Come on, Steve. It's called First Steps. So, I mean,
I know.
We're just a small bean, Marvel Disney. You know that? We're just getting used to this thing. Yes, we have bajillions of dollars, you know, but we're just first steps, everybody. Baby steps here.
It's not fair for me to say for a Deadpool review, but we need sincerity back in these movies.
Give
me a reason why.
Yeah.
Like, buy into your world. Please have faith in your own property and give an actual movie to people.
Yeah. The first Deadpool movie, him and Monica Baccarin, which is the thing they always now go back to the well of, like, will they, won't they? That first one, like, they have real heat, and like they have
those
crazy sex scenes, and like,
oh yeah,
that her being in, like, it gives him an emotional reason, like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, this woman that I'm in love with, now I'm a hideous monster. It's funny, but it's also like, I feel for the guy, you know?
Yeah, Deadpool 1 is a real movie. I enjoyed Deadpool 1.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say just another, just one of my last thoughts on Deadpool and Wolverine, but like, I never thought I'd be saying this after the first two movies, but the way that they're handled in this one, I was like, bumming. That world that you spent two movies setting up, and good on you, by the way, for just keeping fucking TJ Miller erased from existence, but like, all those other characters, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Colossus, all those characters that you've had in those first two movies, they just get this back seat of like, you're just at Deadpool's birthday party?
Yep.
Man, I was missing those characters.
Yes.
I was missing, you know, you get like a 11th hour return of Rob Delaney, and I didn't think it was funny. So that was just kind of bad. I want to know, speaking of Comic-Con shit, all right, how do we feel about this?
You know how I feel. Everybody feels the same way, right?
I don't know that I do feel the same way, to be honest.
And then, like, one, it's disappointing because RDJ, just off of Oppenheimer, and which I'll be the only person that ever saw, The Sympathizer, he's really great at that too.
Good show.
Doing real dramatic, fun work. I don't mind that he's back. I don't mind, like, this Doctor Doom Tony Stark thing happened after I stopped reading these comics, so I don't have like a nostalgia for it. So now, like, oh, they're finally doing the story I always wanted to see. I can see.
Wait, explain.
It's just another. This happened in the comics. It's a multiverse thing where, like, there's a universe thing. Where Doctor Doom is Tony Stark. That's kind of the.
So is that what they're doing?
I think so. My, I mean, they God. Have to. How else could they not? Unless he never shows his face, which would be. Smart.
It's just going back to the well. There's other good actors out there, everyone. Like, it's yes. just that Return of the Will thing. It's like, Henry Cavill's not playing Superman anymore because he's playing Batman. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I know they just want to repeat their hits and enjoy your autopilot.
Yeah. That's kind of what it does feel like, autopilot. Going back to the Russo brothers, going back to RDJ. I mean, I don't. The new Captain America movie doesn't fill me with. The trailer's kind of fun. I'm going to give it a shot. It looks like they might be trying to make a movie. It was funny yesterday. I was at a bar and they were playing Winter Soldier. And I just,
right.
And it was the highway chase scene. I was like, wow, that's a highway. Like, even though it was like blue screen, whatever, but like, it was literally like the Winter Soldier is chasing Captain America through a highway because they want to get something.
Right.
As opposed to, we're in a vast wasteland. Filled with no characters.
See, that's the thing. In retrospect, I was too hard on Marvel back in the day because I'm yearning for that now with this the multiverse stuff.
So
nothing
they,
matters.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah,
it's narrative corruption.
My take on the Doom thing before you literally told me that storyline, Steve, was I was like, neat. They're doing the thing, and I guess I should have been smarter than this, but I was like, cool. We're just casting the same actor to do a different character, thus breaking some of that whatever.
Yeah.
But like, if it is in fact just like, oh, in this universe, Tony Stark is Dr. Doom instead of Victor Von Doom.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just an alias that he uses.
Tony
Victor
Doom.
Von Doom is never real. I don't know. Tony Doom. Hey. First of all, that's kind of great.
Tony Doom.
That's a bummer. But I initially saw that and I was like, oh, cool. They're trying to like break the chain. And now it seems like maybe they're not trying to break the chain.
It just makes me think that, and I've thought this for a while, that these marketing announcements, these casting things, mean more to them than what the movie's actually going to be.
Oh, sure.
Like, of course they do.
We say of course to that, but that is a horrible thing. And like, this is something that should like be alarming to everybody, I think, who likes movies at least. That like, they're just like, We don't know if this movie's actually going to be good, even though we got a good cast on it. The four main are great.
Yeah.
But we have no fucking confidence that we can cast, I don't know, a Michael Shannon for Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Or like literally anybody. And we just have to go back to the well. We have to go back to the well every time. And it just makes me think, like, why bother going to see this if you very clearly are just thinking about the marketing and get my ass in the theater the first weekend? That's all you seemingly care about.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in conclusion, Deadpool Wolverine has some laughs. Check it out.
I did have some laughs with it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, but it is just sort of depressing.
It's depressing. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's what it left me with.
That's totally fine. Got to start wrapping it up here. We're almost at the top of the hour. I do have a couple things I did want to point out. For Home Media Mania, though, get the taste out of your mouth, possibly, of some stuff here. But just wanted to highlight some discs that have come out recently. First off, Criterion did a revamped Jean-Pierre Melville's The Samurai.
Excellent movie.
Great movie. One of my favorite Melvilles. Melville's one of my, like, fave directors. Right here, this is the guy. Look at Alan Delon. Mm.
No big deal. I saw that restoration with Catherine Hahn in film form.
Did she give you another stay away from me and my kids look?
No, not really. But I was like, oh, that's cool.
I'm curious about when you saw it on a screen, Steve, because I thought this looks fucking great. It's a major improvement. This is the 4K that it's got, obviously, the region-free 4K and a region A Blu-ray attached to it. It looks way better than the 2017 Blu-ray. Yeah. Like, brighter scenes are sharper, when we're outside and shit in this, which is great. The darks are much richer. It's shit you come to expect from, like, a nice quality Criterion Collection restoration. The color balance is better on it than the Blu-ray disc also. I think gorgeous, the audio is about the same. Yeah, look good on the big screen. Look good on my TV.
It looked amazing, yeah. Except for the ending, for whatever reason, gets really grainy. I think it's oddly, but that was just at least my.
Yeah, experience. I think that's just what you're dealing with the source material that's left. But color balance is really great on this. So like everything's sharper again, especially outside. A lot of cool interviews, like in the booklet and everything, though, including David Thompson, who's a great film writer, but also an essay by John Woo of all people.
Ooh.
So really recommend you guys check that out. That's out now. It's been out for a while. And then just really quickly, because we had our bud on the show, and I asked him if I could highlight the July release that he was working on back then when we were talking about the Paul Schrader release that Chris wrote an essay on. What's it, Chris, remind me the name of the movie?
Touch.
I'm blanking on. Yeah, Touch, there we go. But new one from our buds at Cinematograph is coming out tomorrow. Jonathan Demme's Last Embrace, which is a movie he's definitely not known for. 1979
movie.
Yeah, it's him doing sort of like a Hitchcock riff from 1979. Roy Scheider, we're going from New York to New York City to Niagara Falls, like a smaller North by Northwest kind of road trip. But it's like slightly erotic at times.
Ooh.
So Scheider's nice. Pretty great. But did want to highlight this. I remember JD telling me one time, like, he didn't hate the movie, wasn't disappointed in it, but I remember like one of the first film programming jobs I ever had was working with him side by side on a retro.
Right, that's right. You actually knew Jonathan Demme, and when you say JD, I just want to make sure people don't think you're palling around with JD Van.
No, that's a good
very good clear there.
Yeah, no, Jonathan Demme, he went by JD a lot of the time, but anyway, it's fucking great. But I was like, oh my God, Jonathan, we forgot about Last Embrace. And he's like, that's fine. And I asked him why. And he was like, I don't hate it or anything. You know, he wasn't like embarrassed by it. He was like, oh, we started shooting before the script was finished. And, but I feel like he'd be pretty excited by the fact that this is kind of finding a new audience and Cinematograph is putting this out. It looks gorgeous. The artwork right here, this dude Vlad Rodriguez put this together. Image looks really great. No shade to the 2014 Kino Lorber Blu-ray that came out, but this is what you want. The audio sounds about the same. Score by Miklos Rosa, who did the score to Double Indemnity.
Wow.
So yeah, really, it's really great. The music's pumping. You can hear all of Roy Scheider's fucking mumbling cigarette mouth dialogue.
Love it.
which is great. Sam Dygan did another video essay on this, and our buddy Justin La Liberty himself wrote an essay for it. Yeah, I don't know. It fucking rips. It's a, you know, I won't say a lesser Demi. I'll say a more unknown Demi that I think folks would be. It would be in their best interest to check out this release and experience some more JD, because unfortunately, no more movies from the guy. So I'm really happy that this is out. So thanks to Cinematograph for putting that together. But guess what? We're at the top of the hour. We're going to wrap things up here. This is, like we've been saying, the summer finale of On Screen Live. So thanks to everybody who's been tuning in since September. If you are still playing catch up in the WHMU, speaking of shared cinematic related universes, last week we had our good bud Jamel Bowie on talking X-Men. Speaking of Wolverine, this was, as some people were pointing out, shouldn't this be a WLM? And as we point out, the Venn diagram sometimes just is that beautiful purple circle, folks. What are you going to do?
Remember, it's We Hate Movies. It's not We Hate Bad Movies.
Right. Yeah, we just have fun with movies.
We do every exactly. We do movies. It's a movie show.
Mm-hmm. We do movies. I like that. Last week was busy. We also had the release of this month's Animation Damnation, getting in the spirit of Deadpool and Wolverine with an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man entitled Ultimate Deadpool. It was ultimately very annoying to watch, but it made for a fun Animation Damnation. A lot of talk of a Taskmaster watching pornography. You might have seen that clip going around. And then Friday, we did close things out with another entry in the Gleep Glossary, all about, you guessed it, our beloved Conehead Jedi Master Kai Arimundi.
That's right. That also includes a sort of a recap, a final thoughts on The Acolyte season one. Is you can find our thoughts on that show there.
Rare four white guys in their 40s that liked The Acolyte. Say what?
That's the thing. Is that's why I know we're a bad fit for YouTube, because we're supposed to be talking about woke stuff. Why don't we say woke a few times to get the algorithm going?
Woke.
There we go.
Now we're making the money.
Sure.
The cool thing is, even though OSL is coming to an end for the summer and we are getting ready to get into our August releases, which is a whole smorgasbord of live shows, unlocked content, brand new Patreon content, every one of our Patreon shows, by the way, this month. Yes, but tomorrow is the season, get this, 14 finale of We Hate Movies. We Hate Movies almost able to get its driver's license, but we are coming to the end of the season in spectacular fashion with a great episode on arachnophobia. And the cool thing about this episode, we are finally welcoming onto a show a dude that has been making us laugh since the George W. Bush administration. Paul Scheer popped in. Here we are on the Riverside platform, getting ready to talk it up with him. Of course, you know him from a plethora of TV shows. How Did This Get Made? Twisters, maybe you've seen him in. We talk about his book. We talk about the movie. It was so much fucking fun having him on.
Oh, yeah. It was a great time. Yeah. Check that episode out.
Please do.
And you'll be able to do so, by the way, ad-free on the Patreon, of course. So make sure you sign up for that, because you're not going to want to miss Thursday, August 1st, just a few days from now.
Ooh.
One, yes, that replay is going away for the speed show, but on Patreon, even more exciting, a long time coming, WLM is releasing On the Crow.
Yeah.
The OG 1994 Brandon Lee masterpiece. I'll fucking
sure,
say it.
Yeah.
Steve coins the phrase grungsterpiece in the film or in the episode. Which coming out is accurate.
This is coming out August 1st, you're saying, this episode?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
August 1st is my new favorite holiday.
That's right, when we are dropping The Crow. And then Saturday, of course, you can't forget that. Oh, nope. Oh,
No.
I couldn't resist. One last time before we say goodbye for the summer.
I love that.
Say goodbye for the summer, which is right now. Kay Stu and her father will be back in the next season of OSL.
Thank God.
For sure. But yeah, we're going to take all of August off. OSL proper will return sometime in September. Be on the lookout for updates, though. We're going to be covering the Toronto International Film Festival this year. We're going to put that out there right now. So we're going to be doing some nighttime updates live from Toronto. So keep your eyes peeled to this YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel. Get them notifications. Then you'll know when we're doing those. And then, yes, the show will come back in full force sometime later in September, I'll say. Date TBD. Stay tuned to all the socials and everything for all that good stuff. But that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in all these months. We do it because you guys either watch here live, watch the replays later, or catch the audio only version that drops later in the week every time. So we thank you for that. And until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good summer, y'all. Stay cool, stay safe. Bye-bye.